The Spendthrift 80s, Part 1, Intro and Beginning of Fad. Now, the 80s is an insatiable desire for wealth, status, and a good time, evident everywhere. In the Michelob motto, you can have it all. In the much-heard maxim, if you got it, flaunt it. In the image of the sneaker-clad, briefcase-carrying superwoman who balanced, she wished, a career, kids, husband, and housework and happiness. In the Forbes tally of America's 400 richest people, which overshadowed its rundown of the country's 500 largest corporations, and Robin Williams' insightful quip, cocaine is God's way of telling you that you have too much money. Nor was religion immune from greed. The sins of Jim and Tammy Faye Baker made it clear that the 80s, the biblical manna, was money. You gotta shop. Not surprisingly, Americans went on a spending spree unlike anything seen since the post-war 40s. We binged on buying some 62 million microwave ovens, 57 million washers and dryers, 88 million cars and light trucks, 105 million color TVs, 63 million VCRs, 31 million cordless phones, and 30 million telephone answering machines. All of this conspicuous consumption in a five-year period mid-decade. And all these products bought at a time when America had only 91 million households. In the era when shop until you drop was the motto of millions, one company came out with shoes designed especially for shopping, with supports that allowed you to hurry from mall to mall to maximize your purchases with minimal foot discomfort. Our consumption rose faster than our incomes. People saved less and borrowed more. They mortgaged their homes and mortgaged the future. As a bumper sticker read, "We are spending our children's inheritance." From this standpoint of fads and trends, the splurge generation, as Tom Wolfe dubbed the buying baby boomers, provides an unequaled richness of material. We begin with a look at language, always a revealing barometer of an age. Buzzwords. Language, argues Walt Whitman, never one to pass up a photo opportunity, is not the province of lexicographers, but arises out of the work, needs, ties, joys, affections, tastes of a culture. Out of its excesses, too. The wordy Whitman might have had trouble fashioning a succinct soundbite, that ideally compact and colorful quip favored by the 80s television news shows, which tried to keep the tedium of talking heads to a minimum. Brevity is the soul of that soundbite. "That was a great bite," compliments the journalist, praising short form over substance. A Harvard researcher, Kiku Adato, analyzed network newscasts from the 60s and the 80s and determined that the average soundbite shortened from 42.3 seconds to 9.8 seconds, indicative perhaps of a general shortening of viewers' attention spans. Arguably, the decade's most famous soundbite was George Bush's "Read My Lips." Bites were not new, of course. Reader's Digest and Bartlett's familiar quotations made a business of colorful condensation. But in the 80s, biteability, warned the New York Times, threatens to reduce culture to a mere index of what's in it. All of us strive, wittingly or not, to sum up a sentiment or an event in a smart phrase. A single word can have potent impact, and later convey an explosion of nostalgia. Can you describe the decade's trends embodied in the following catchphrases? Networking, interface, safe sex, just say no, 30-something, cellulite, camcorder, wannabe, in the loop, cutting edge, pet rock potential, Elvis sightings, light, let's do lunch, call my people, oat brand, tabloid TV, Reaganomics, Black Monday, boombox, junk bonds, house music, fax, user-friendly, spin control, and quality time. Collegians have always had their own language. In the 80s, it went something like this. Praying to the porcelain god meant clutching a toilet bowl on one's knees, expelling excess alcohol. A hamster was an open beer left overnight from the night before. Others compiled by the UCLA students in the UCLA slang, McPaper, a term paper written quickly and without much research. She's been fake baking. She's been going to a tanning salon. A party hat, that's a condom, also known as a life jacket. Beer goggles, blurry vision resulting from too many drinks, which makes one of the opposite sex look appealing. To go ballistic, go crazy. Multiple sadness when two or more things go wrong. Are you dealing with him? Are you involved with him? Boinking, having sex. Let's rage. Let's party. Did you overserve? Did you drink too much? Hemorrhoid, a person who is painful to be with. Fossil, a person who has been a college student for over 4 years. From the movie When Harry Met Sally comes a Sally, meticulous person. From the cult film Heathers comes a Heather, a superficial girl. As for memorable quotes, Susan Sontag summed up the decade saying, "I think there's been a decline in the capacity for seriousness, that society is dominated by entertainment values." Gary Hart summed up his career when he dared reporters, on the same day he'd been caught with Donna Rice, "If anybody wants to put a tail on me, go ahead. They'd be very bored." Secretary of State Al Haig summed up his ambition on the day Ronald Reagan was shot. He mounted the podium and presumed, "I'm in control here." Hotel Queen Leona Hemsley summed up the decade's opportunism when she said, according to testimony at her trial on tax evasion, "Only little people pay taxes." Well, let's look at some of the fads. This will just be the first part of them. Flash fashions. We saw in the 70s how the films Annie Hall, Saturday Night Fever, and Urban Cowboy inspired fashion statements. Kooky conservative, lounge lizard in white, and western chic. The first 80s film to influence attire was the 1983 slick and sexy Flashdance, about a Pittsburgh charmer, Jennifer Beals, who's a welder by day, a go-go dancer by night, and a ballet hopeful round the clock. Within a few weeks of its release, the film grossed $50 million, and its bouncy title song, Flashdance, What a Feeling, shot to the top of the charts. The Flashdance look that heroine Beals inspired consisted mainly of an artfully torn off-the-shoulder short-sleeved sweatshirt worn over a tank top with tight-fitting pants and a dancer's leg warmers bunched at the ankles, or three pairs of socks worn at different lengths. Not since Jane Russell's heyday did women get so much mileage out of a peekaboo shoulder. Fashion observers commented that Flashdance look caught on overnight primarily because of sweat gear, already popular as jogging attire, was owned by millions of young women, that merely had to scoop out the neckline and slice off the sleeves. Young men also sported the ragamuffin shirt style, which let them showcase their progress in the gym. Among young teens, Flashdance fashions crimped their earlier Valley Girl look. Michael Jackson's glove. Pop singer Michael Jackson launched the fashion of fiction in 1984 after dominating the Grammy Awards ceremony that year. His trademark, a single sequined white glove worn on the right hand, had teenagers across the country decorating their mother's old white gloves in gaudy imitation, became a hotbed of controversy at many high schools. At Bonbrook High in Somerset County, New Jersey, male and female students were banned from wearing gloves because they violated the school dress code, but also because a glove hand interfered with the students typing, climbing the ropes, and shooting hoops in gym class, and operating heavy machinery in the shop. Madonna mimics. Pop star Madonna inspired imitation of her sexy lace and fishnet ensemble, highlighted on an MTV video in her hit film Desperately Seeking Susan. The mandatory Madonna raiment consisted of bared off-the-shoulder bra straps, artfully torn fishnet stockings, sundry leather and chains, and a handcuff as a bracelet, all punctuated by an exposed belly button. Tousled hair and heavy red lipstick all added authenticity. The look made lace underwear a fashionable outer garment and inspired Madonna look-alike contests in schools and clubs around the country. Contestants often paraded while lip-syncing to Madonna's hit, Like a Virgin. Out of Africa safari style. Women too mature to copy Madonna could in 1986 dress in a khaki chic popularized by Meryl Streep in the movie Out of Africa, in which she portrayed the legendary Baroness Karen Blixen, who recorded her experience in the book for Letters from Africa under the name of Isaac Denson. The costumes, designed by Italian-born Melena Canonero in color and style, combined mannish flair with a rugged Ralph Lauren romanticism to kick off a safari wear craze. Army and Navy stores were ransacked for authentic gear like pith helmets, and boutiques like Banana Republic found themselves in step with the vogue. Saks Fifth Avenue ran a floral and khaki line, while Macy's opted for a more direct tie-in, an out-of-Africa boutique. fringe shawls, khaki duster coats, riding breeches, and four-pocket safari jackets were seminal to the style, as were primitive prints in earth, reds, orange, and greens. One humble item to attire in the 80s became unexpectedly trendy and pricey, the sneaker. But we'll pick up with the sneaker next time. Now, the source for this is Panotti's Parade of Fads, Follies, and Manias, The Origins of Our Most Cherished Obsessions by Charles Panotti. So I hope you enjoyed that. And as always, don't forget to come by the website, sumahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com, and ask a question, leave a comment, check out our merchandise, and if you like what we're doing, please feel free to support us. Thank you.